Motherhood was given to us by God for many different reasons. But one of the things that I appreciate about my mom and moms in general is the humor that they bring into our lives. The truth is, moms say the craziest things. I got pages. Now these are not all my mom. Were you raised by wolves? I think, well, don't you know who raised me, Mom? Yeah. Don't look at me with those eyes. Well, then what should I use to look at you, Mom? No child of mine would do something like that. Are you saying I'm adopted? Beds are not made for jumping on. Oh, yes, they are. Yes, right? Come on. No, but you're going to leave me hanging alone? Come on. Beds are perfect for jumping on. Thank you, the two of us. Good. Are both your legs broken? Go get it yourself. Sorry, I just have one broken leg. I'll go ahead and try to, you know, get over there. But both my legs are broken, then no. How many times do I have to tell you? Do you really want me to answer that question, Mom? At least, there you go, see? I'm going to give you until the count of three. Thank you. Now I know just how long I can ignore you. I'm not going to ask you again. Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. I love this one. Close the door. Were you born in a barn? And I think, well, Mom, weren't you there when I was born? Don't you remember? Was it a barn? Pick up your feet. Put them where? What do you want me to do with them? Don't ever let me catch you doing that again. All right, I'll be much more sneaky next time so that you don't catch me. Or watch your mouth. Now, I don't think this is physically possible to do this, to actually try to see what your mouth is doing. Oh, here's a good one. Stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about. The Mother of the Year award goes to... Yeah. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just cleaned the house. Thank you, Mom. I love you, too. You better wipe that look off your face. I remember thinking, I have a choice. There's another face I could use besides this one. I'll take that one. Moms say the craziest things, don't they? We love them, and we understand where those crazy things come from because we drive them crazy. That's why moms say crazy things, because we drive them crazy. But moms just say the craziest things. Jesus said the craziest things. Jesus said some of the craziest things that have ever been said. We come this morning to the end of a series we're calling Life Redefined, where this idea of Jesus has a worldview that he wants us to operate by, a set of lenses that he wants us to look at this crazy world that we live in and what our place is in this crazy world. What does it look like to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Now, what we're going to look at this morning is taken from Jesus on the side of a hill, and he's preaching, he's teaching to a large group of people. And in that group of people were some who had put their faith in Jesus. They recognized him as the Messiah, and they listened to him as the Messiah, as the Son of God. There were others in that crowd that were still, I'm not sure, you know, our religious leaders, the Pharisees, tell us that he's not the Messiah, and so we're not sure yet. And so we want to hear more, and we want to see more. And they were checking things out. There were people there with questions. There were people there in that crowd that had serious animosity towards Jesus. There were some in that crowd that hated him. And so he spoke to this mixed crowd of people. And it's possible that in this room this morning, we have people in those different places in our spiritual journey. I know there are people here, I'm one of them, that has come to understand that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. I totally messed up Matthew 16:16, didn't I? You are the Christ. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's what Peter said. And I've come to embrace that, and there are many others here as well. Some of you are here this morning, and you got drug here, or it's Mother's Day, so okay, I'll go to church. Somebody invited you to come. Some of you have questions. Some of you are not sure. Some of you are just still thinking that through. Who is Jesus, and what is this church thing, and this Bible, and this just this gathering even? I have questions about it. Some of you are here this morning, and You have some strong emotion in your heart. Maybe there's been a woundedness in the past. Maybe you have been abused by someone in leadership, someone who said they spoke for God or for Jesus. And so there's some anger, or there maybe just circumstances in your life. If there's a God, why would he allow this to happen? And I just don't know. And I want to say to you, just as I believe Jesus was saying in his day, I'm not saying I'm Jesus, don't take that from this, but I believe the moment here for us is the same as that moment on that hillside. Jesus is here for you, and he wants to speak to you, and he wants to know wherever you're at that he loves you, and he is seeking to draw you to himself. And we come to Jesus the same way, every single one of us. We come to Jesus by faith. We don't earn it. None of us are good enough. If you're a mom, you're like, I was a terrible mom. I was a great mom. I was somewhere in between. I'm not a mom. You know, we just analyze ourselves and we label ourselves as somewhere in that spectrum. And all of those labels don't matter. All of them are wrong. If you think somehow you're better than others and you deserve, or you think you're over here and you don't deserve anything, none of those labels, those conclusions matter, because Jesus says you all come to me the same way, by faith. The ground at the foot of the cross is, it's level, it's flat. We all approach the same way. And that's the message that Jesus gives us in Matthew 5. And it's the message that I want us to take away this morning, is that he's calling each of us to come to him. So what we're going to look at this morning, the challenges that he's going to give us, are given to those who have put their faith in Christ. Because the reality is, I can't be this, you can't be this, live this way as a follower of Jesus apart from the help, the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. If you're a follower of Jesus, he's moved in, and you need to take these things that he gives us this morning and say, okay, I'm going to live that way in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you've not put your faith in Christ, you're still in that place. I just don't know. I don't know if it's real. I don't know if I can trust him. I don't know if I want to trust him. And you hear these things this morning and you say, well, that's impossible. You're right. Because it can only be lived out in the power of God. Nobody can do this in their own strength. Thank you, Sean. So what, this last piece, what should our worldview look like? Jesus just, he says some crazy things this morning. So join me in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Or excuse me, verse 28. 38. Everybody thoroughly confused? Okay, Matthew 5, verse 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, don't resist. Don't push back against an evildoer. On the contrary, if anyone slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. Is that crazy? Come on. You can say amen there. Is that crazy? No? Come here. Let me demonstrate. Anyone? It's right. Come on. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other, to him also. As for the one who wants to sue you and take away your shirt, let him have your coat as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I, Jesus, tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he, our Father in heaven, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Don't even the tax collectors, sorry IRS, but that was, they were very corrupt in that day. Don't even the tax collectors, the people that rip everybody off, don't even they do the same? Don't they love those who love them? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing out of the ordinary? Don't even the Gentiles, those apart from God, don't they do the same? Be perfect. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, I don't know if it's just because I'm an American, but I have rights. Come on. I have rights. Do you hear that message? Come on. This is a democracy. You know, I have the right to vote. I have a long list of rights. There's this piece of paper, the Declaration of Independence, that talks about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those are my rights. Is that message being amplified in recent months and years? It absolutely is, and it will continue to be, because that's where we naturally live. Jesus says this crazy thing. He writes these words, he speaks these words, and Matthew records them. And at first reading, maybe second or third reading, I go through these, and I go, Jesus, Do you really understand what that's going to look like for me in life? That's a dumb question, right? Anyone says there's no dumb questions, they're dumb. No. There are Jesus, here's the dumb question. Do you understand what that will look like for me? Jesus, who left earth and came and took on human form and lived among us and interacted with people. The Gospels, read through them, your experience, those 30-something years, and then your life on earth came to an end as you were tried. You were unjustly convicted and you were executed as a criminal and buried. Jesus, do you have any understanding, any idea of what it would look like for me to live this way? And Jesus, in all of his grace and his gentleness, just whispers back to me one word, and that word is yes. Yes. Yes, I do. I know exactly what it will look like for you to not resist the evildoer, for you who have been slapped to turn your cheek, for you as someone who wants to sue you and take away something from you, to give them all that you have. And I understand if someone forces you to go a mile, if someone forces you, if someone lays a burden on your shoulder and asks you to carry it outside the city and up the hill. Yes, I know exactly what that's going to look like. Yes, I understand what it looks like for you to give to the one who asks you to take something, to borrow something, to have something. I know exactly what it looks like not to turn away from the one who wants to borrow. I know exactly what it looks like to love your enemies. Doesn't he? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Don't say it out loud, just in your head. Do you remember where he was when he said that? Do you remember who he was looking at when he said that? Do you remember who was next to him and how he interacted with those who were next to him? So when I go, Jesus, do you really understand what it looks like in the world that I live in today, in what is happening in my culture, what's happening in my place in the world where I live? Do you really understand what it looks like to live this way? And Jesus whispers with grace and gentleness back to me one word. He says, yes, I do. I understand. And so what Jesus says to us, what he's saying to that crowd, what he has said to me in these words is this: I want you to give up your rights. That's crazy, guys. At least it is to my Western mind. It is to my nature. It is to my sense of, wait a minute. It sounds very familiar to my grandpa ears, to my papa ears with 6 grandkids. Wait a minute, Papa, they got 2. That one's big. Wait a minute. That's just constantly coming out of, you know, these little mouths. And it seems crazy to me that Jesus would say, Kurt, I want you to give up your rights. I want you to lay down your rights. And these examples that he gives, there's some thoughts in your notes that I just want to draw your attention to for a minute. You can highlight them, you can add some thoughts to, but just real quickly, here's what he's asking us to give up. He's asking us to give up our right to equity or fairness. Oh, no, come on, let's just be honest this morning. That's a really big word to us, fair. No? Yes, it is. If you don't want to be honest, I'll be honest with you. I want fair, I think. The truth is, I really don't want fair. I want grace. But I think I want fair. That's just, our moms taught us that fairness is good. We don't have to be taught that. Excuse me, we don't have to be taught that, do we? That's a part of my nature, that I want what I believe to be fair. And Jesus says, give up your right to equity, to fairness. You know, he quotes this Old Testament passage, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. This thing is called the Lex Talionis. Now that's Latin, and it's an ancient, ancient law that sometimes today we say the punishment needs to fit the crime, right? Make sure that it is fair. You take my eye, I'm going to take your eye. The Old Testament had these principles. Someone steals a cow, they got to replace it with a cow. An eye for an eye, a tooth for tooth. That sounds fair. Jesus says, you've heard this, but let me tell you, I'm here to tell you that in the kingdom of God, God's worldview, how he asks us as followers of Jesus, as a follower of Jesus, as someone who's put my faith in Christ and I trust him for all eternity, how should I live today? Jesus says, I'm going to raise the bar on you. It's not an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. I want you to let go of your right, your perceived right of equity, that it's going to be fair and even. Because the truth is, it's not. And our Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God, came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Was that fair? Was it fair that he who knew no sin became sin for us? Is that fair? Is it fair that the righteous, pure, holy Lamb of God, the Creator, would come and take on human form and be treated the way he was treated, to be executed on the cross willingly? Was that fair? Praise God, no, that was not fair. That was grace. That was grace. And Jesus shows me what it looks like. But he says, here's the crazy thing, Kurt. I want you to look at your world this way, and I want you to look at your place in it like this. I want you to lay down your rights to equity. I got to move faster. Give up your right to dignity. Oh, man, this is a tough one. These are all tough. Self-preservation. Give up your right to dignity. You know, there's nothing more humility, maybe, nothing more humiliating than being slapped in the face. Seriously, right? Yeah, I mean, it's humiliating. There's other things that can be done to us that are so, just they steal our dignity. And we want to respond, we want to react to that. I don't want to react to it the way Jesus says to react to it. Now, come on. I'm asking you to be real this morning. This is crazy stuff. Someone steals your dignity. Somebody mistreats you. Oh, I know what to do. He says, I want you to lay down your right. I want you to leave that in my hands. I want you to give up this right. I want you to give up your right to security, safety. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, your shirt, give them your coat as well. What? That's not how our legal system works. Come on, Jesus. You have no idea how the legal system works. You don't walk into court and say, he's suing me for $100,000. Here, I got $200,000. I don't have anything, but here, I'll give you $200,000. Come on. This is crazy stuff. This is a part of the worldview that Jesus gives us, how we are to look at our life in this world that he's put us in. We give up our right to equity. He says, give up your right to dignity. Give up your right to security. Give up your right to liberty, your freedom. If someone forces you, literally compels you, makes you go a mile, go with him 2 miles. Now, they would have understood this. We can understand this. The word here, force, is also translated employ. Let it sink in. Employment. Someone employs you. Someone forces you to come at 8 o'clock in the morning and do work, and they never pay you enough. They don't, you know. But the cultural setting that they would understand it as is part of the Roman Empire. Any Roman soldier had the authority to grab a citizen in the Roman and say in the empire and say, I need you to carry my stuff for me for a mile. It was 1 mile. It wasn't a mile. It was a measurement. So many feet. And you had to do it. You had to do it. So Jesus is talking to a group of Jewish people that hated Roman occupation. They hated being a part of the Roman Empire. Many of you know, right, the backstory and what's happening. And he says, you know, if someone says, hey, you, come here, I need you, don't get up, but come here, I need you to carry my gear because I've got new orders and I'm going over this town and I want you to carry my stuff for a mile. And then they would find someone else to carry it the next mile. Oh, they hated that. They hated doing that. And Jesus says, if someone asks you to do that, then say, you know what, I'll carry another mile for you. I'll carry another mile. Really? I got stuff to do. I got more important places to be. Give up your right to liberty, he says. Go with him 2 miles. Give up your right to property. Your prosperity, the things that you have worked so hard for and you have acquired, and we do that, right? We acquire these things and we collect and we have our stuff. He says, you just give up your right to property, the things that you believe are yours. Give to the one who asks you. The phrase there is to give it away. Give it away. And don't turn away from the one who wants to, oh, and I hate this word, borrow from you. I was a contractor on the side for a while, and I had a lot of, who said it? Tools. If you know me, I took really good care of my tools. All of my tools belong in a case. They all belong in a row on the shelf, and they to be clean. And it's, hey, Kurt, don't you have one of those? Yeah, I have that $500 saw. Yeah, I do. Oh, can I borrow it? There was something in me that just kind of went, oh, it's never coming back, or it's going to come back broken, or the blade's going to be whatever. You know, and I just, that's one of those words that just, it's a trigger word for me. Hey, can I borrow your car? Hey, can we borrow your Can we borrow your house? We got people coming. Can we borrow whatever? It's crazy stuff. Jesus says, give up your right to property. It's not yours. It's not yours. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Can you join me there for just a minute? Jesus asks us to give up our rights. This is what it looks like. This is the lens we should be looking through as we try to figure out our place in this world as followers of Jesus. What does it look like for us? Listen to the testimony of the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 9. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord, meaning face to face, which is what made him an apostle? He had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, at least I am to you, the church in Corinth, for you are the seal of my apostleship. I came to Corinth, and he planted this church, and he proclaimed the gospel, and people came to Christ. He says, you're the evidence, you're the proof that God's called me to be an apostle, to be a messenger of his message. My defense to those who examine me is this: don't we have the right to eat and drink? Don't we have the right to be accompanied by a Christian wife? Don't we have the right to be married like the other apostles, the Lord's brothers and Cephas or Peter? Or do Barnabas and I alone have no right to refrain from working? Don't we have the right to be taken care of, to be supported so that we don't have to work and we can just give ourselves to proclaiming the gospel, to lead the church? Whoever goes to war at their own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat its fruit? Who shepherds a flock and does not drink the milk from the flock? Am I saying this from a human perspective? Doesn't the law also say the same thing? For it's written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it treads out grain. But the truth is this: is God really concerned with oxen? Or isn't he really saying it for us? Yes, this is written for us, because he who plows ought to plow in hope. He who threshes should do the same in hope of sharing the crop, the harvest. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it too much if we reap material benefits from you? If others have this right to receive benefits from you, don't we even more? Do you get it? He's saying, I got these rights. These are things that are good. However, we have not made use of this right. Instead, we endure everything. They didn't claim any of those rights, so that we will not hinder the gospel of Christ. What's Paul saying? I laid down my rights to receive support, to be married, to have these things. I'm not asking for these things from you. I'm laying those things down. Look at verse 19. Although I am a free man and not anyone's slave, he was a free Roman citizen, I have made myself a slave to everyone in order to win more people, so that people might hear and respond to the gospel. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win Jews. To those under the law, like one under the law, though I am myself no longer not under the law, to win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, like one without the law, not being without God's law, but within God's or Christ's law, to love God and to love people, to win those without the law. To the weak, I became weak in order to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that I may by every possible means save some. Now I do all this because of the gospel, so I may become a partner in its benefits. That's the testimony of Paul. You lay down your rights for the sake of the gospel. Jesus says, give up your rights. The second crazy thing he says in the text that I read back in Matthew, if you want to go back there, you can, is he says to love the way God loves. Lay down your rights, give up your rights, and love the way that God, our Father, loves. Remember what he said? You've heard it was said to love your neighbor. That's great. And hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. You know what he's saying there? There might be a resemblance. There might be a family resemblance. They look at you just like you saw the resemblance in me and Nate. That people would look at you and go, you know what? You're just like your father. You're just like him. You act like him. You look, man, that do this so that you may be sons of your father. You would be displayed this way. For he, the father, causes his son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? What benefit is there to that? How will this advance the kingdom of God? Proclaim the message of grace and God's love. Don't even the tax collectors do that? They love those. They scratch the backs of those who scratch their backs. This symbiotic relationship, you do for me, I'll do for you. Isn't that the norm in our world? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing out of the ordinary? You're just doing what everyone else does. Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Look around. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus says this crazy thing, that we are to love the way that the Father loves. We are to love who the Father loves, and we are to love how the Father loves. We are to love who the Father loves. Love your... No, see, that's where we go. You all fail. No. Love your... You said it, but Jesus said it first, right? I love loving my neighbor. That's the one that, you know, we're the same. We're good. We like each other. We love who the Father loves. Jesus says, love your enemy. Love the ones in the verses we just talked about. The slapper, the sewer, the, you know, one forcing me to walk with him, the one that wants my stuff. Love the ones who take and use, and even those who persecute you. He even has the gall to use the word evil in this text. Did you see it? Anybody else see it? Make anybody else stop for a second? He says, the Father causes the sun to rise on the good and the evil. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Jesus is saying, be perfect like your Father. Be complete. Be complete in your reflection of who he is. Jesus says, I want you to love the way God loves. I want you to love who the Father loves, your enemy, the evil. This word evil is interesting. I was studying it this week, and it literally means to be pressed down and just mashed with trouble and weight. You know, I think I'm guilty of looking at evil people, looking at those that I label as evil, and I just see the evil and I see what they're doing, and that's where I get stuck. And I don't look beyond that to see the person. The person. See, I'm not called to judge. I can't judge and decide who is worthy of grace and who is not. Because grace by definition says that nobody's worthy. And then I look in the mirror and I go, that's right, that's right. That's right, that's me. He says, you love the way the Father loves. You love who the Father loves. And you love how the Father loves. There's a beautiful picture. He gives them sun and he gives them rain. Those are the two things we must have for life. Even our oxygen comes from the sun, on the effect on the plants, right? The air that we breathe is connected to the sun. And we have to have water. Right, California? We have to have water. He says, God gives the wicked, the evil, the unrighteous. He gives them sunlight and he gives them water. What is he saying? He gives them life. He's meeting their needs. Really, Jesus? Yeah. That's how the Father loves. He loves without expectation of getting back. Luke chapter 6, these same words are recorded, and Luke adds these phrases that he loves with mercy and with grace. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 to 36. His love is full of mercy and he's full of grace. Here's the truth, guys. Loving our enemies identifies us as a child of the Father. Says everyone else loves those who are like them, the Gentiles, the tax collectors, people of all parts of society. They love those who love them. They get along with who they get along with. That means nothing. He says the power, the picture of grace and love is that the Father loves the righteous and the unrighteous, the evil and the good. You with me? So when I love that way, I've just identified myself with my Heavenly Father. I'm like him. It's crazy, but that's what Jesus says. That's what Jesus says. Join me one last passage, and I'm going to close. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. If you have your Bible, I encourage you to follow along. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. Loving our enemies identifies us with the Father as his child. Listen to these words of one who came before us, who came to earth, took on human form, and look how he reflected his heavenly Father. Make your own attitude, look at the world, put on these set of glasses, understand your place in this world like this. Take on the attitude that Jesus had, who existed in the form of God. He was in heaven, with the Father, with the Spirit, and he did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped for his own advantage. He let go of that place, and instead, his attitude, his mindset, his heart was, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave. He took on human form, taking on the likeness of man, and when he had come as a man, he was born, as we're all born, into that manger as he came as a man in his external form. He humbled himself. He was still God, but in his external form, he now had a human body. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross, even a horrific execution reserved for the worst of criminals. Do you see it? Do you hear it? Can you picture it? How did the Father respond? For this reason, God the Father highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is crazy. But this is what Jesus is asking of his followers. This is what it looks like to live in this crazy world that we're in right now. Does Jesus understand what it looks like to live this way? Does Jesus understand what it looks like to live this way? Yes. And so he's asking us to follow him. Amen? He's asking us to follow in his footsteps. Moms say the craziest things. Jesus says the craziest things. But we love our moms, the women that God's put in our life to lead us, to nurture us, to teach us. I pray that our hearts would be filled with love for Jesus, our Savior, our Creator, our friend, when he says crazy things and says, this is how I want you to live in the world that I've placed you. And as followers of Jesus, we would, if you're a follower of Jesus this morning, that just together we would respond with that one word. So may it be true. We all together would say, amen. Amen. Father, thank you for the crazy love that you have for us. Jesus, thank you for this amazing display of your love on the cross. Thank you for speaking the truth into our lives. Thank you for setting the bar high so that the only way we could follow you and live for you was totally dependent upon the power that you give us through your Spirit. It's just humanly impossible to live this way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your gift of love. Father, we want to honor you and worship you in every way. We want to sing to you. We want to bring our hearts before you. And Father, we want to bring our offerings to you. You made the ultimate sacrifice for us, Jesus, and you've called us to follow in your footsteps. And so I pray that in this moment, as we bring to you our gifts and offerings, that we would do so joyfully, that we would do so with gratitude and appreciation, that we would be generous to you, Father, and that we would do it in faith, trusting your love for us and your grace in our life. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.